CliffCentral.com.
You will have remembered right at the beginning, this is one of the founding pivotal members of Squatter Camp. He is probably one of South Africa's most successful recording artists, a rapper, radio, TV presenter, and someone who is well known across the country. He is Slicker. Hey man, how the hell are you?
I'm very good, guys. I'm very good. Good
seeing
you.
Nice to see you, man. Yeah. What's been happening? Were you at the Metro FM Awards this weekend?
No, but I was tweeting from my couch.
Yeah, that's probably the best place to watch it.
Yeah, I was tweeting.
I was talking to someone earlier, and we'll get to you in a second, but I want to know what your thoughts are on this. It's almost become like a big elite show-off, those awards.
Yeah, aren't
in a very crass way.
Yeah, I feel when I was watching them, there's some people that I felt like, wow, is that what they're really saying up there on stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, it's always been like that, though. I don't know, I've just always...
Has it always? Because I always thought the people who got their awards, I take nothing away from them. I think it's great that we're celebrating local mm-hmm. music, that there's an awards show that does. I think there's a lot we could be very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find like there's a lot of me, attention seeking, and kind of everybody pay attention to me, and showing off what cars people have and what outfits they're wearing, and a lot of it is unnecessary.
Well, you know, I mean, like, It's almost like the glory just can't be on the music, right?
Mm.
So if you literally like build up this thing that gives glory to music, then you go, yo, but why am I not being acknowledged in all the, it's just the music being acknowledged. So it's layers and layers and layers of people who feel like they need to get their share of glory. You know what I mean? So that's what it becomes. So you might find, I don't know, like even the guys who are probably doing the event, you know, there's their piece somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing also when things are not born on of the right reasons, I think, you know what I mean?
And what are the right reasons? Because, I mean, you're a musician who's made it, you've had great success, you continue to have great success, you've also created success for other people,
which
is something... That you really, you know someone's doing well when they also are giving back.
Yeah.
Then their soul's in the right place.
Yeah.
Is that what it is for you?
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I always say everything starts small, right? And if you can get it right when it's small, then it grows. And you can always go back to why you did it even when it's bigger. It actually always grows for the right reasons. You know what I mean? So you find things like, you know, I wouldn't even just say the Metro Awards, but things that like responsibilities always pass to the next group of people and the next group, that kind of loses why did we start it in the beginning. You know what I mean? Sometimes if the guys who started it in the beginning, the heart of it, if they probably started it for the right reasons, if over time those people like just disappear, then it starts becoming about like the product versus the heart of it. You know what I mean? And I think that's how a lot of things end
up
becoming what you
do. Is it for you mostly about the love of the music itself?
For me, it's just the love of understanding what the hell am I here for.
What do you think that is? Because that's the question we all want to answer, right?
Yeah. Well, at this moment, I'm thinking that it's being innovative with music. It's creating opportunity where I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all I know. Because when I try, because I tried being at an agency, you know, it was a good place to be, but it wasn't me, you know, and it wasn't where I needed to be. I tried a lot of things, you know. I tried to invest in certain businesses, but it wasn't me. You know what I mean?
I first of all don't know that you are the kind of guy who could have a boss. I'm not saying that you couldn't listen to people and you couldn't be, you know, the kind of guy who's willing to learn.
Yeah.
That I think you are.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'd be good with a boss. I think you're the kind of free agent you need to operate in your own.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Even with my relationship at the agency, I'm good working with them as a team, you know. But also, you know, I've got almost these impossible dreams, like Cliff Central is like almost this impossible dream, you know, that you kind of go, but I'm going to pursue it. I've got that stubbornness also, you know, so I've got this impossible dream that everybody goes, Oh, that's sweet, man. That's so sweet.
I met you in the passage there once.
Yeah.
And you and I started talking. And we both had to run off. You had a meeting. I had a meeting.
Yeah.
But I remember we were talking about how you had plans to completely change the way that music is distributed.
Yeah.
Not just on radio or in terms of the actual product being sold.
Yeah.
But the way that people can turn it into a social media thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was it. And like, that's why I had to leave the agency to really go pursue that. Like, last, it's been close to 12 months now. And we've grown. The platform has grown to, we average anything from 20.
Give it a plug. Tell people what it
is. Yeah, www.clickonlife.co.za. We average anything from 200,000 visits to 160,000 unique visits a month, you know. And we're growing. And I think that, like, if people think of how do they receive like urban hip hop music, you know, Slick on Life has almost become like the place to go to, you know. And and we've also introduced like a store, because what I want to do, I just want to create a situation where if you're watching a Ricky Rick video and he's wearing his Boss Zonke vest and you want it, you can automatically click through to the online
because
store,
because that's where the real money is too.
Yeah.
If you want to make it in music right now, it's the performances and it's the merchandise, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I always ask myself, I go, I feel liberated and I feel at peace when I'm helping and I'm making a difference. And I think that's where the website came from, where, you know, before Casper was who he was, you know, I was calling him to get his music on our platform, you know. And for him, it was like, yo, this guy who's supposedly Slick, an OG, acknowledges me when a lot of people weren't doing that. Guys like Nasty C when they do their rollout. Guys like Ricky Rick when they were having whatever issues they were having with whoever they were working with. So I went from becoming like a producer of one artist or a recording label to actually being this accessible guy for every artist who needs advice.
You are so connected. You know? I mean, you were looking at me, shaking your head just now when I said that you are almost like, you're kind of our Dr. Dre in a lot of ways. I don't think that's an unkind thing to say.
Well, that's a bit of a highly flattering thing to say.
Well, I think you are. You know all the rappers. You mentioned Casper Nyovest. I've heard rumors that you were the guy who actually hooked up that whole MTN deal for him. Is that true?
No. That's definitely Oscar. That's Oscar.
Really?
Oscar's the Dr. Dre.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Then we'll give Oscar the credit.
Yeah,
but you've done other stuff for him.
Yeah, I'd not just for him. I do a lot for a lot of other people. Mm. I mean, the beauty of Slick on Life is that it's not about me, you know, it's about the culture. So automatically when we start, like, when I'm going out there doing the sales pitch to business that's interested, I'm selling the culture, I'm selling someone that's out there. And my platform just so happens to be like the pipeline. So my job is really just to change the perception of how artists are seen. And I mean, we guys don't have analytics when they do their download, so we provide all that for guys who actually know how to go sell themselves in business. So, you know, it's really just repackaging the culture, which automatically and organically makes me indirectly help so many more artists, and not to mention guys who just call me up like, Slick, I'm stuck with this, or Slick, I'm trying to do this. And, you know, these are highly established artists right now who reach out to me all the time, and, you know, I'm happy to do it, because I'm going, 10 years ago, I never had a Slick I could call, but I always wanted, like, if someone could advise me on this, what would happen? So I'm always going, I want to be that guy, or rather, the site has allowed me to be that guy, because the artists don't feel like I'm competing with them. They actually feel like I'm actually, like, trying to help what they do.
You're like a less dangerous Suge Knight.
that's
better then. Let's not go with Trey. I'm trying to draw comparisons.
Yeah, less dangerous Suge Knight. You know, I'd say like Diddy without the money and the
okay.
Rock.
Okay. Right. Now, but you've made good money. I mean, you don't do badly.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Money is slippery, but money is interesting.
Did you hold on to a lot of the Squatter Camp money, or was there a lot of Squatter Camp money?
There was a lot of Squatter Camp money, but, you know, it was all shared equally. But I've always plugged my money, and I've always, like, I'm comfortable with who I am, so I don't have to overcompensate with how I dress, what I drive, blah, blah, blah. Sure. You know what I mean? So
you're,
you know,
a low-key guy for someone who really could be flashy if you wanted to.
I'd like to believe, but like I'd like to believe I'm pretty. I don't know anything. Let's keep it real. I know, you know, guys would tell you like, yo, that like about cars and break down everything and tell you about clothes. I don't know nothing about those things. So already I'm like, I just don't want a guy buy a car that's gonna break down. I just don't want to buy clothes that are gonna tear. So already, cause I don't know half these things, I'm not trying to be like spending money on them anyway. But I've got this vision of this thing that I want to build, which for me that intrigues me. And there's not a lot of people I can talk to about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I go, well, if I can invest back in this vision, maybe.
All right, hang on. You're giving me a lot of things I got to talk to you about.
Yeah.
So see, I make notes here. The first one is, and we'll get to this one first, because it's already there. The idea of, you said money is slippery. You got to talk about that to me. I got to understand that. Number two, you said that you have big dreams. I want to know what the end game is. Mm-hmm. Are you writing these down here? Number three is what you just said now about these people who are very flashy and all the rest of it. What are the things that you do by yourself for your own personal satisfaction and enjoyment that you don't tell people about?
Yeah.
What are those things? Because, you know, that's the reason people want money. You don't want money for money's sake.
Yeah.
You want
yeah.
money so you can live a life that you want.
Yeah.
Have options.
Yeah, well, you know.
Start with the slippery thing. You said money's slippery. Is this a lesson that you've had to learn, or is it something that you've just observed with other people?
Well, I mean, I come from a highly successful group, right? And the thing is that, like, just like we're all like born with different parents, you know, clearly our destinies were all different, but we meet at one time to do one thing great together. And how we all go our separate ways, whether it's the group I'm from or whether it was the generation I'm from of artists who were making twice, three times the money that we were, because, you know, we were splitting it seven times, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When
you really could have done without one or two of them.
Yo, man, it is what it is, you know? So,
looking back, it could have been a squatter camp of three.
Everybody added something. Even if it was silently in the bus talking crap, everybody added
That's
something.
Nice. I'm
you
glad
know?
You'd give credit to all of them. I wouldn't.
Straight, yo, the thing is that, you know, there's always like the behind the scenes stuff and what people get at the end.
Right.
And people don't know some of the things, the value that some guys added behind the scenes, you know? But even if it was just chirping. But the truth of the matter is that, like, so yeah, so when I talk about that, when I look at that and I look at where I am, you know, I'm for every, I don't know, for like just every 100 rand that I have, and then I look at like where a lot of guys are that from my generation, and there's only probably like 5% of us that could say, I'm from like Leondale, I'm from the East End, I mean,
yeah.
So to be like living here in this side of the world, you know, to say that I still got I bought my parents a home from old money, and you know, I got properties from old money that I used to have, and I can still pay off that stuff, and I can, even though I don't get money like I used to as an artist, you know, cause it comes fast, but the fact that I can still do that and still live, it makes you aware that, like, you're not invisible. It's just money slippery, you know? Because the cats had the same opportunity, if not two, three times more that opportunity. So that's when you start realizing that you can't think that money's going to be there forever if you're not paying attention, you know what I mean? So that's where money slippery is from. It's just me knowing and seeing. And let alone, I've got, like, when I was growing up, you know, there was always like these old folks that were doing well who come with your parents, and then you find out that they're not doing well anymore also because of something that happened, you know, and you go, wow, man, you know, this money thing is real, you know, you can never be too comfortable.
And there are also so many people, especially in South Africa now, and I think especially in the music business, there are a lot of people that want you to think they're living a certain kind of life, but they're actually, the car belongs to the bank and the house belongs to the bank and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's not theirs.
Yeah.
And I don't really, it's none of my business. And if they are living on debt, for example, it's none of my business.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that they need to project that means to me that they're trying to prove something the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all live in a society that's highly driven by perception, you know? And the power of perception is dangerous because people still, you know, I've always, when the only car I liked in my life was an Audi, right?
Yeah.
So when I made some money, I was like, yo, I'm going to get into that Audi, you know? So, but that comes from an environment where there was either no car at the house or we were always driving. There was always a secondhand Toyota Corolla that was just like, that was just sitting there. That was old and no one has ever had that. So you like, oh, I made it, you know? So there's also a lot of I made it, but, and which I also went through too. But then, you know, I think when you get money when you're young, you kind of get an opportunity to make mistakes.
Mm.
And if you're still hungry to try prove to people, then that's when you kind of like suffer for the rest of your life. But I think I'm lucky that like we made money at a young age from having no money. And from then on, you know, it was a case
of... Yeah, what was life like in Leondale when you were growing up?
Well, you know, I was just into... I just struggled with school, you know. Because like you said, I couldn't have a boss and a teacher was a boss, you know.
Yeah. You mean you weren't really, were you bored?
It just wasn't my thing. The one thing that I really liked was history, you know. Because today history is very important to me because I judge the way things are today because of the past. I judge, that's why when I say money is slippery, like I've just seen the importance of documenting and history and how strong and wiser history makes people. So history was very key. I was a little bit good at accounting, you know, I surprised myself with a bit of Afrikaans, not that I can speak it now,
wow.
You know. So, you know, we had a school. Leondale was cool because it was, Leondale was really, you know, Leondale also for me was almost like the ghetto Silicon Valley, you know what I mean? I can be real with you because in Leondale, when the rapping and the rappers, they came out of Leondale, right? They were guys in Togoza, but the rappers were the ones in Leondale, like, were building the studios. Well, that was me. You know, we're building the studios, the home studios. We were appearing on TV, you know. So in the East End, like, Leondale was the Silicon Valley. There was no basketball in Leondale. Basketball started in Leondale by a guy called Bino. He ended up being on Metro FM. So yeah. Bino was like a white dude who could speak Zulu, and he got Fila to build up the hoops, da-da-da-da, and he got the municipality to do the court. But, you know, the soccer teams also. So we were like the cultural Silicon Valley. And that's where hip-hop was also born. So
I had no idea this place is so influential.
Well, you know, there were so many more other ghettos, you know. So Leondale was almost like, if you're in Leondale, it was almost like the little suburb type of situation, right? So, so you know, even like the squatter camp sort of like, all the designs, you know, because like we weren't just like rapping, they're like, there were whole designs. Dudes would like design clothes for some dude who did my matric dance outfit in Leondale. So Leondale was literally like this cultural hub and sports hub, because like it was almost like the black families were kind of like, were like in a little suburb or something. So it was sort of like that, you know. It was like the Silicon Valley of the hood.
I think that sounds fascinating. I was talking, who was it that we spoke to last week about Attridgeville?
Tabiso
Tema. That's
yes.
Right. And he was saying a similar thing about Attridgeville and like how that was, it was different to the other townships in some way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where all the time when I need a break out from the world, you see, I was torn between basketball and rap. So in order for me not to get F's across my report card, I had to choose between basketball and rap.
Yeah.
And everybody was playing basketball. And rap was the only, I was the only person that was doing it. And Smax literally was from the hood and he jumped on. But not everybody was committed, but I was really the only person. And that's really been really my template for even the industry, that when everybody does something, I always go, is that what I really want to do? And I go, I just go do my blog, you know, whatever the case be. But it's always like hard to break away, because when you're used to industry money, when you're used to getting a certain, you got to, you know, when you're used to being around the basketball and the girls and blah, blah, blah.
And it's safe because everyone's doing it. So you're like, oh, well, if, you know, if everyone's doing it, I don't have to take risks.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable to do your own thing. But I just realized that, you know, the template of my life has been based by that behavior in Leondale, where, like, everybody was playing ball, everybody was playing soccer, everybody, and then you're going, I'm going to go rap. And then you stand out because you're doing the rap thing, you know, but you struggle because no one is paying attention to it in the beginning, you know?
Is it true that you helped Bonang with that legit deal?
Yeah, yeah, I helped her with that, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you and she still get along really well?
Yeah, we get along, you know, I mean...
I mean, you dated for a while.
Yeah, we did, we get along, but like, you know, my current woman is not too happy with me getting along with any one of my exes.
Is this Jill?
No, Jill is my baby mother.
Okay, so who's the current one?
It's a lady called Melissa. We've been together for like... it's 3 years now.
Wow, three years. Geez, I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, well, no one knows, really.
That's a long relationship, though.
Pardon? I'm also at a point where my energy is kind of like important now, you know. It's where I put my energy is very important. I can't be jumping around from one place to another place. I got a 5-year-old son. Mm-hmm. Melissa's also got a 5-year-old.
How's he doing? Daughter.
He's the man, you know. He's the man. I came with him here the last time, actually, you know.
Is that when you were on O'Neill?
That was. Yeah.
You were on with O'Neill. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's the man, you know, he's the man. Like I said, my energy is very important. Where I put my energy, that's almost like, you know, you can invest money, but, you know, you can't get energy back, you know. So even in my relationship, I need consistency with the woman I'm with. I need consistency with myself, most importantly, because I always tell people that, even when my mother calls me, she's like, see, but I asked you to do this. I always go, Mom, have I ever said I'm going to do something and not do it? You see, I deliver. You know, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. You know what I mean? So, and that's how I've always been with
and
my life.
That alone is so hard to find. People promise you the world. They never deliver a damn thing, right?
That's why I'd rather not do anything if that's the case. But, you know, so for me, I've always realized that my downfalls have always been people who can't reciprocate that, you know. But not everybody's perfect also. So even with my relationships, you know, with my son, with my work, with my family, everything of mine is that I won't say it if I can't do it, you know. I won't commit myself if not. It's like I tell guys are like, yo, you run slick on life. I go, yo, do you know that every night I literally work 18 hours. So during the day, I'm hustling whatever I'm hustling as related to the site. And then maybe like in the evening, I've been doing this for like 365 days. Well, Monday to Friday, if you count. Every day, I literally do this, and no one is pushing me to do this. I literally sleep at 12 every day. From 7 to 12, mm-hmm. I'm literally updating. This is what I do from Monday to Friday. And then I update. And then during the weekends when the events, we go out there and shoot content, blah, blah. I literally run the sales. I do the production. I do the content. I say, but this is consistency. This is what focus is. You know what I mean? So it's not even work. It's just like, what do you want? What are you filling your life with? You know, I'm filling my life with the things I want to do. I'm not trying to like waste my time with things that I don't want.
It's an interesting thing you said about conserving your energy. I think a lot of people waste their energy on each other, on ideas that'll never be, they'll never mature. They'll never be anything important. Mm. Here's a question from Anushka. She says, Slicker, what's your take on the hashtag producers must rise trending yesterday? 5 songs won big at the Metro Awards, and the producer involved with all these songs had to buy a Golden Circle ticket and watch his work. No acknowledgement, no mention of acceptance speeches. How does that work?
I saw that. I think that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're nominated. You know, when you look at the awards, do they have a... are they acknowledging the producer? I don't think there was a category for the producers.
No.
So already that says something, you know. It's like, but this goes back to talking about everybody wants their piece of the glory, you know. Mm. One way or another, we're in that space in the world where, you know, you get your glory on social media, and then when you get to a platform like Metro FM, it almost like the Metro FM Awards, or when it gets real, it's like, okay, now this is the real glory and everybody just wants their piece. But it is actually like an artist awards, if you think about it. It's less a composer's award. It's less
a producer
award. And the question is, if there was an award like that, that never had the glitz and glamour of Metro FM, that the Metro FM brings or Summers probably bring, would someone still want to fight for that acknowledgement also? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you know, I understand where the producer comes from, but when you look at it, it's always been an artist award ceremony. And if you start thinking of the producer, then you got to think of the guy that did the sleeve. Then you got to think of the guy who was holding the camera. You
and know, eventually, there's so many people involved, nobody cares.
You know what I mean? So it isn't. So you know, when we look, put things into context, it is an artist event. You know, they don't have a red carpet for people that we don't know who you are. You know, it ain't like a bunch of background people here, red carpet.
Set design in a music video.
Yeah, and we're like, who are you? And you're like, but you look nice in your outfit. You're like, well, you know, I was the one that was pressing the button when AKA said, congratulate. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But your outfit is still nice, though. You know?
Now, what about the effect of social media on the music business? I mean, do you like social media? Are you very vocal on there, or are you like a lot of people are suddenly kind of nervous about what goes on there because it can be a very messy place?
Yeah, well, I'm not vocal in many ways. I think that like I always say that like you know me and Benang maybe were the first like big. Like, you know, back in the day when a story breaks, you had to be there. But yeah. We were probably the first big social media online big story to break online when apparently I dumped on Facebook, apparently. Which
why do you say apparently? You didn't?
Because I didn't, you know. I just use social media for what people use it for, not knowing that like people give a damn so much. I'd broken up with it 24 hours earlier, you know. So I know people who go relationship status. I was just updating my status, you know, and that's what I got, you know. And so for me, you know, it always goes, is that the type of attention that you thrive for, you know?
Yeah.
I don't thrive for that attention. So my thing with social media is that like people will learn over time, you know, that like perception will get you into trouble, you know. I use my social media to push my content, you know, on my site. I use it wisely. I don't use it like for personal stuff. Although my woman thinks I don't love her enough because I don't post enough like nice pictures saying nice things about us on Instagram.
But that's for you too, right? That's not for everybody.
I tell her that. I go, yo, you know what I mean? But you know, she gets it sometimes. And then when she wants to fight for something, she just like, plus, you don't give a damn.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're not showing me off to the world.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, do I must I Instagram to give a damn? You know,
it is. Listen, it's tough having a relationship. It's even tougher having one publicly.
Yeah, you know, I think that like one thing I know though is that you know, perception and impression are, you know, the impression that you want to create or you want to have of yourself has also become distorted because of social media. You know, when
explain.
So I wake up in the morning and I literally like. I always have to go back to myself as a kid. When I woke up in the morning, I just had this perception of like, I know I can be great, you know. I know there's something more, but I just don't know what it is. Is there something deep in you that you go? But like, I think people are waking up every day now and looking on social media and going, the greatness, that's what I gotta chase. You know, I couldn't point out what it is that's great. I think that when humans can't point out, but they feel it, it's real. But today with social media is like, people are literally like pointing at it, saying, that's what it is, and it's not even real half of the time. You know what I mean? So the world has moved from people going like, I can feel it, to people going, that's what it is. Let me tag it. Let me like it, you know?
Sure.
So that's the world that we've become, where people are pointing out the greatness, but greatness is developing, you know what I mean? The greatness develops just like dinosaurs are extinct. That's
how
the world
develops. You're saying we should look back to ourselves.
We should look back to ourselves because that's where the truth is at. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, social media, because by the time I go on TV and I look at TV and I go, right, you know, Eddie Murphy coming to America, because that really inspired a lot of
people. What a great movie.
Yeah, you know.
What's one of the greatest movies?
As a kid, you know, I loved Eddie Murphy. Just generally, I was like, yo, that. But, you know, before I got there, maybe I'd only see him during the weekend, right? Through some type of beta cam that we had.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
the
like
trip.
A, like an old
video.
Video.
Yeah, you
proper
know.
yeah,
you know. Exactly, cassette, you know. But, like, before I could
and it would stretch and then you'd parts of it would be
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you.
But before I could get that, I had to wake up Monday to Friday and deal with myself. And deal with myself like picking myself up saying, I know there's something great. And then during the weekend, I'd pick that up. Now, within all of us, we've got that. But like now, we're sleeping with our phones next to us. And we're waking up every day to the influence of an Eddie Murphy, whether it's in whatever the Eddie Murphy of the Instagram is or the social media is. We're waking up. We're sleeping with it. We're not getting space to actually plug in with ourselves. You know what I mean? So that's what the world has become. So that's why opinions are so distorted. That's why you watch the metros and you go, yo, it's become what it's become. Because it's layers and layers and layers. I mean the head of SABC, he was stunting like you know, there's so you know. But I go, yo, where does all that come from? And it's layers and layers and layers of people feeling that they need to get their glory because social media has created that immediate. You can get it too,
and it's not always true. It's hard work. I mean, what are the toughest things you've had to put up with in your career recently? Because, you know, Squatter Camp was a huge success and you did very well out of that. And obviously there's a come down after something like that. But there's also you starting this business of yours and getting people to find new ways of connecting with material, with merchandise, with performances, with video content, with all of the stuff that you're doing on Slicker on Life. But What are the toughest parts? What are the parts that people don't ask you about because it's not going to make it to the tabloids? The tabloids want glorious stories.
Well, you know, for me, you know, I don't think nothing is difficult in the world, though. You know, I just think you got to apply yourself, to be honest with you. Like now, take for instance, I started the store 2 months ago, but I haven't really sold any merchandise yet, but I always go, it's only 2 months. I still got some time to figure it out, you know? Yeah. When I started the site, we only had like 200 like views in 1 month, you know? But I always remember that like everything started from nothing. Squatter Camp started from us walking in. So I've got testimony of seeing things happening. It's just whenever I stop believing, that's when they don't happen. So for me, the key thing is really the most difficult thing I've gone through in my life is when I broke up with the mother of my child, or when we broke up, and the difficulty was, here I'm a father of this kid, and I've always like had this dream that I'd always be present in my kid's life, and that was the one wake up call for me that there's nothing and there's not enough money, not enough cars, not enough anything that can control the fact that in the world we actually like don't have power. We just, you know, we really like powerless. If this thing that has got my blood, that's called my son, could potentially be stripped away from me, you know,
then you have nothing.
That's when I realized that as human beings, there's not enough material things we can put in our lives to reaffirm that we are actually useless unless we try to be useful, you know, because
that's pretty powerful stuff. That's Oprah level stuff, right, Sia?
I'm writing this down.
Yeah. There's not enough material stuff in the world to make us feel less useless unless we make ourselves useful. Am I right to paraphrase you like that?
I don't even know what I said, but that
was good. That was, trust me, the fact that I remembered it, even more impressive.
Yeah, you know, so for me, you know, I mean, I just realized that as long as my soul is right, as long as my mind is right, as long as I'm doing everything for the right reasons, then nothing in the world is difficult. You know, everything, squatter camp, website, being here, being slicker, everything is a decision after that.
What were those other questions I had to ask him?
So you also wanted to know about being flashy. What do you splurge on for your
personal what do you spend? Do you spend some money on yourself? Come on. You said you're a low-key guy, and you are. You don't go and, you don't walk around in fur coats and with a cane.
I'm more concerned about I understand how slippery money is, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I got clothes, I got food, and I'm taking care of my family. And I just want to make sure that, like, my kids are sorted. I want to build, like, my vision you know, my grandfather, he literally, like, and funny enough, my woman's grandfather is the same thing. My grandfather had, this is, like, no BE, this is just hard work. He literally, like, in the 70s, you know, 80s, mm-hmm. He had a supermarket. He had a bottle store. He was selling pigs. He was selling
cows. It's like Mafonia.
Yeah, he was selling cows. He had a garage, a petrol station. He had literally land. He had all these things, you know, at a time.
And that was during the time where it was virtually impossible for black people to get ahead.
Straight, you know. And he literally had, like, obviously, because the king gives them the land, you know, and...
Where was this?
Zwelithini.
Yeah, but which, whereabouts?
KwaZulu-Natal, yeah, in Hlabisa, I just don't really remember the name now, the place, but obviously Zwelithini gave my grandfather the land, you know,
yeah.
And so basically my grandfather had all these things, right, I mean, three stores in one house, you know, not to mention, you know, he had like a whole lot of wives because he was Zulu. So my Zulu and me always, like, when I wake up, I'm like, let me just, like, look good. I don't know if I might meet, like, a second wife. But anyway.
I wonder how Melissa's going to feel about that.
I hope she's at work now doing the right thing, you know. But he had all these things, you
know. That's amazing. He managed to do all of that. In, first of all, a fairly rural area.
Yeah.
Second of all, during the height of the time where it was not very easy for black people to own anything.
Of course.
And especially to run it well and to run it with ease without the government interfering.
Exactly. I mean, he was like a shoe dude, you know. He used to just, like, he was in Fryhood one day, like, always fixing people's shoes. And then he just said, I'm just going to leave Fryhood. I'm going to go. I've got another plan. I've got a vision. And for me...
Sort of like you.
Yeah.
That's where you get it from, huh?
Well, if for me, you always, like, ask yourself, what's this thing that says I can be better? And then you realize that this is something that comes from somewhere.
Isn't,
you know,
he still around, your grandfather?
Nah, he died, like, in the 80s.
Well, now he's an ancestor, so that's where you're getting the stuff from.
Yeah, yeah. He's, like, sending me texts, you know, in my dreams.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
I believe in that.
Yeah, see us pulling a face. Listen, how's that any less solid an argument than some of the other supposedly spiritual arguments that people offer? At least this has got some practical honesty in it. And you know how?
How?
Your genes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your genes carry the way you look, what you inherit from your parents in terms of their appearance, their behavior, all kinds of things that are very obvious.
Uh-huh.
But nobody ever talks about how your genes can carry memories. Remember Timothy Maurice was in here the other day? Epigenetics?
Yes, yes.
Your genes
can carry memories.
Carry the memories of the people who came before you. That's how ancestor worship, to me, makes a whole lot more sense than monotheistic religion from the Middle East.
Sure.
Yeah,
there's something in that, dude.
It's
real. You agree?
Straight. Look, I believe straight up in ancestry, what. Because the truth of the matter is that as much as when I look at my son, right, my son literally comes to see me bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that I never told him.
That he just knows.
That literally, like, it's in his, it's just in him.
In him, yeah.
Just to, and for me, you know, whether you being an entrepreneur, whether you're gonna be a parasite, whether if someone in your family tree is that, you're going to have pieces of that.
Damn
and
right.
You either break the cycle or not. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the truth of the matter is that, like, this thing of when you don't understand what's that thing that talks to you, if you don't understand where your family or your history comes from, you'll never make sense of it. You'll never know what's your drive.
And that's why,
you know?
That's why this country's so screwed up, is because there's so many people who don't know where they come from.
And they don't know they go, they drive. And besides not knowing where they come from, they're running from the past. They're running from the past.
But also they haven't found one or two things they could be proud of somewhere in the past.
Yeah.
Before they even came here.
Yeah.
Like something to do with their grandparents, something to attach themselves to that makes them feel part of something and feel proud.
Yeah. I mean, look, my father literally, he finished school in like grade stand. I don't know if the, what grade stand one is. I don't know what he said.
Grade 3 or something.
Yeah, but he was walking to school all the time. But my father, he lived a Tiltile. Like, and this is on my grandfather's on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
My father just like on his own. He lived like Tiltile when it was called Tiltile a long time ago in the '80s. And he said he's just gonna go start some taxis.
And that's what he did.
And not that he knew what to do with, like, how to manage money.
And that's a tough business to break into, my God.
But, like, you know, but he did that. But he did that in the 80s where we were living in a four-room. My mother was living in... My mother literally left my grandfather because my mother never wanted to be under my grandfather's shadow because of the power that he had. So she literally just pursued a whole nursing thing. But, like, she only, like, matriculated, like, in the late 90s. My mother's close to 70 right now. Mm-hmm. So when I look at that, my mother still wanted to matriculate when she was 50.
Amazing.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when I see that, you know, I always go, there's something that's always talking.
There's self-esteem there too.
Yeah, you know.
There's self-esteem in someone who doesn't go, well, I'm 50, it's too late.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, I'm going to do this now, I need this.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about the material things, I almost feel that I'm so blessed, you know, that my wealth is my ideas. My wealth is my input. My wealth is how I help, is how I show someone the light. My wealth is just like me actually being at peace with who I am. You know what I mean?
And no one can take that away from me.
Nah, you know, so for me, you know, there's, except for like making sure that like my kids are, well, my family's in a proper home and that the car doesn't get stuck because I don't give a damn what the car is because I ain't trying to open up a bonnet and change tires. Uh-uh. I got no time for that. You know what I mean? So I got to make sure the car's good just for those purposes because I don't want to be a mechanic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
I always go like, you know, a garage that's when you go to a garage and they sell pies, you got to be worried about a garage that sell pies because they cause to pour petrol. Now yes. You're selling a pie. Oh, man, I can't trust that. You know what I mean?
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, tell me, with Melissa, are there any long-term plans here? What's the story?
Straight. You know, I mean, I'm actually engaged, you know
what
I mean?
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
Is this breaking news? Does nobody know, really?
Well, I ain't said it in a medium before, but like, you know.
There we go, then it is. It's breaking news.
Yeah, you know, we broke that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Slicker is engaged.
You know, so.
This is the woman for you, huh?
To be honest with you, like I said to you guys, I just realized how powerless I am, that like I was going to take, I literally made a decision that I'm not going to be in a relationship with no one in my life. I'm just supposed to produce work, blah, blah, blah. And Melissa came into my life, and the way she came like, I don't know. I saw her somewhere before I even met her, and that's when I was going through my stuff, and I just looked at it. That's when I just had no appetite for women, and men either, not that I ever, you know, but I saw her and I just looked, you know, like I think 4 or 5 months before, and just saw her and I was like, oh, but I'm tired of this drama. And I met her and like 6 months later, she was just like, I think I gotta be with you. I don't know. And you know,
you two kind of approached each other slowly.
Yeah, you know, I think the universe, because I've also never been so productive in my life and never felt bad about
She's
being
good for you.
Yeah, you know, these dreams I'm chasing, I don't see anybody else I've been with that would trust me without them going, yo, we gonna be broke. You know what I mean? I don't see anyone that I've been with in my life that could have allowed me to be who I am right now. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're in a relationship, you're only as good as the person that's behind you at the same time. That's why I made that decision that I'm never going to be with anybody, because no woman will actually allow me to be mad and dream the way I dream, you know?
And it means that you put the whole family at risk when you do that, because you might end up doing something that's going to cost you a lot of money.
Exactly.
You might not have huge income for a while.
And look, I'm blessed that I get offers, you know, and I need to sometimes turn things down because of the bigger thing, which I need to go explain to her. Because sometimes I get excited, yo, so-and-so just gave me so this, and then I got to go to her. But, you know, if I do this, this is, the reason why I was bringing up my grandfather and all that is because with all the wealth that they had, I still had to struggle. There was nothing else.
They didn't give you any money.
The wealth was never passed. Do you know what I mean? That's why, and so was Melissa. And there's so many reasons for that. And I go, I don't want to work. And then Noah and Noah's kids go, yeah, you know, they speak about me the way I'm speaking about my grandfather.
Noah's kids, you're like, your grandfather was a good guy. He was a powerful, successful rapper in his time.
Exactly. But, so,
but then
you know,
what?
Exactly. So I'm saying, I'm trying to crack the code of being able to, and a lot of people have done it, you know. I'm trying to crack the code of being able to build something that Noah can actually go, I'm either not going to work here, but it's our family's thing. And then their kids can go, it's our family. So I'm trying to crack the code. And
don't get too excited. They say that inherited wealth only lasts a maximum of 3 generations. How do you like that?
Even if that's so great, because what my grandfather did never only lasted his generation, because when it was inherited,
I'm trying to put you off. I think what you're saying is exactly right.
So for me, beyond just like buying things now don't matter. It's about really like being able to go, yo, we built something that like Noah will walk in and say, they have the choice to make it better or F it up. Yeah, you know what I mean. And the next, you know, that for me, that's the challenge. You know, I can buy anything. I can get in debt and even go buy myself a huge ass car for $2 million and go, well, we go pay it every month, you know. Anyone can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
you're
like,
right.
There's the challenge. That's the most challenging thing for me.
Dude, I could talk to you for a long time, but we're out of time. I can't believe it's almost 9 o'clock. Nina Hasty standing by with TG Squared. Slicker, what a pleasure to see you again.
Thanks, Gary.
Go to Slicker on Life. Go and see what this guy's doing, because if anybody's going to change the way the music business works, it's going to be you.
I hope so.
I think you're already doing it. I don't think there's much of it. There are no people running around going, I don't know so much. I think you put your bets on Slicker, you'll be okay. Safe money. Thank you, my man.
Always
good to see you, dude.
Thank you, man.
Keep well. All the best to you. We're going to wrap it up with the unnews. Hand over to TG Squared, and then Ben's on at 10. It's not Ben 10, it's Ben and the Sport at 10, right, Ben?
Correct.
Damn right. All right, thank you very much. Sia, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Flex, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and to our guest, Slicker, this morning. Let's wrap it up. Leo DiCaprio finally won an Oscar. Naturally, social media's gone crazy, people celebrating the win like it was their favorite sports team triumphing. Leo really doesn't care about you, though. He just wants to crush supermodel tail. Something he confirmed by taking his mom to the awards and crapping on about the environment in his acceptance speech. Supermodels eat that shit up, and Leo should be all stocked up in about 10 out of 10 talents for the next 20 years, at least on the back of winning this Oscar. A Roman Catholic priest has been seen in a video, snorting cocaine while chatting with a friend in a room filled with Nazi memorabilia. I kid you not. The incident has naturally escalated, with spokesperson from the Vatican saying that the behavior was simply unacceptable. The Vatican feels this is not an isolated incident and appears to be a growing trend for priests migrating away from raping children to now indulging in more conventional vices like drugs and worshipping false idols. Finally, Gianni Infantino has been installed as president of FIFA and started as his first day today. He arrived at the office but was surprised to find Tokyo Sekhwale already there. Amidst all the celebrating and schnapps on Friday night, Tokyo apparently talked the new president into giving him a job. Infantino has no recollection of this, but Tokyo claims he's the new director of diaspora accumulation. Jack Warner is apparently furious. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have a good day in the company, cliffcentral.com.